So glad that you're joining us in worship this morning. We're in a series on the parables, and we're going to be talking about the wise man who built his house on the rock and how important it is to know that Jesus Christ is our rock, that no matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter what kind of trials or tribulations we might be experiencing, our faith is built on the solid rock of who Jesus Christ is. And the promise in Scripture is that He will never let us down, He will never fail, and that ultimately His plans will be accomplished. So whatever you're going through today or in this past week, whatever you're dealing with, know that undergirding you is this solid rock, this foundation that is sure and secure, and God will be faithful to you. So with that encouragement, let us worship God together with all our hearts. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for who you are, that you call us out, that your vision and purpose for the church is far beyond what we can ever imagine, but that you are faithful, Lord, to guide and direct your people to give selflessly and generously. Thank you for your heart that does that for us, and we pray that we would do it for one another. Again, we are grateful for these leaders and servants who have stepped forward this morning, such a vast number from our congregation. We are grateful for the action that is a part of the words, Lord, that it's not just that these folks have heard you, but they're acting because they have felt called. Lord, may we do the same. May we not hold back. You are too wonderful. You are too great. You are too amazing in your plan for us to be reticent in serving you with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole strength. So, Lord, renew our passion for you. May we be totally bought in to your plan for this church, for this community, and for the world. Lord, forgive us for the things we have done that have separated us from you, for the things we have engaged in that have not been your will for us. Lord, we know that you are faithful to forgive, but Lord, may we turn with new hearts to do the things you are calling us to do, to be the people you want us to be. Again, Lord, with new zeal and commitment to love you completely. For those who need you this morning, we lift them up to you. We think of many who are shut in, who are having health problems, who are struggling just day by day. Lord, you're the great physician. Descend upon these folks, Lord, as we think of them in our hearts. Lord, we ask for complete and total healing. We especially lift up Doug, who lives at ATL, who couldn't be with us this morning because he's in the hospital with stomach issues. Lord, we just ask that you would be with him in the hospital. May he know your presence and healing touch. Lord, we have prayed for Rancho Santa Maria. We've prayed for our leaders. Lord, just empower us as a church. Create energy and life and a new vision here in this place. May we receive the resources that we need to do your will, and may we do it gratefully. Lord, we pray for our community, that we that the community surrounding us would know that we are here. May they look at West Valley as a beacon, as a place of safety, and a place that welcomes them. Lord, we pray for our nation and our world as people war and as arguments brew and as there's conflict and dissension abroad. We ask that your peace and wisdom would hover over the leaders of our nation, that your will might be done, and that you might be glorified in and through all these things somehow, Lord. For you work all things for good. We trust in that promise, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace. May we stake our lives on your mercy when we don't understand. May we trust you each step of the way, knowing that you guide our steps and that you do not leave us alone. Thank you for this great promise. And now, as our Savior taught us, let us pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock.
I want to share with you, to start, a picture of Pastor Young Ryan's new grandchild, Samuel Evan Kim. His middle name is Evan, which means stone or rock. And I told Pastor Kim he was born just for this message this morning. But please congratulate him when you see him. But I just thought it was so interesting when he told me, oh, his middle name is Evan. It means rock. I thought, oh, I got to show that on the screens on Sunday. I don't know about you, but when I read the scripture, I notice that Jesus says a lot about rocks and a lot about stones. Have any of you noticed that? How many of you have thought that? Okay, and recent evidence shows that it may well be that Jesus was not a carpenter. He might well have been a stone mason, because the word is the same in the Greek. And we have so much about stones and rocks in the New Testament. Jesus is always talking about it. So that's just something for you to ponder. But, you know, Gary was playing the underscore of that of the song, The Wise Man Built His House on the Rock. How many of you recognize that? Okay, so if you don't recognize it, consider yourself young and with it, okay? This is not a with it song. This is a children's song, but I want to sing it. So would you just sing the first verse with me? All right, let's do it together. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. Good. We got that out of our system. I'm so glad. But actually, that says it all, right? When Jesus is our rock, we build our lives on him. And we stand firm no matter what. So thank you so much for singing that with me. And it's a great song. The second verse, of course, is the foolish man built his house on the sand. And the house on the sand, we learned it went splat. And then the following verse is, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and your house will forever stand firm. I just needed to sing that, so thank you again. some of you know that I'm an East Coaster. I'm actually a New Yorker, New Jerseyite, all right? So I'm going to talk about New York a little bit with you today. I went to college in New York. I met my husband in New York. I have my favorite restaurants in New York, and I'm told I still have an East Coast accent. I've tried so hard. Yeah, kind of. I've tried so hard over the past 20 years to be a native Californian, but I don't think that will ever happen. In fact, I just saw somebody yesterday who just looked at me and said, "You're an East Coaster, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah. How do you know?" I hardly said a word to this person. She says, "Just a certain mannerism." She says, "I can't put it into words." So I've given up trying to pose as a native Californian. I say "yeah" a lot. Is that a East Coast kind of thing? Yeah. And anyway, I pronounce my R's differently, and certain other things give me away, I guess. But being a New Yorker, I love the skyline of New York City, so I I wanted a picture of the skyline for you today. And it's got tall, majestic buildings. But what fascinates me even more is the city beneath the city of New York. There are 9,000 manhole covers in the city, and they service 92,000 miles of utilities. There are 722 miles of subway tracks under New York City, built about 100 years ago. And if they were laid end to end, they would stretch from New York to Chicago. And when the subway first opened, it was quite the fascination of New Yorkers. In fact, subway explorers would actually go underground and walk down the tracks, and the trains were slow moving back then so that people could jump out of the way when the trains came, right? And they were called Dodgers, which is where the Brooklyn Dodgers got their name from, the dodging the subway. So that's where that came from. So there's this magnificent skyline of New York City up above, and then there is the city beneath the city that holds everything up. The city that is beneath the city is the key, because that's where the rock is that holds New York City up, and it is called the Manhattan Schist. It is the rock that everything in that enormous city is built on. And it is pretty critical for holding up those big buildings. And in some places, the bedrock is pretty close to the street level. Rockefeller Center got lucky because the Manhattan Schist is pretty close to the surface. But if you know New York at all, the Woolworth Building, maybe you've been there, which was the tallest building in the world until 1930, they had to dig down 120 feet to hit bedrock. And once they did, they had to sink 69 concrete pillars into the ground to get to bedrock. And as you look at the skyline, if you look at the skyline where the skyscrapers are clustered, that is where the Manhattan Schist is closest to the surface. So that's why you have clusters of tall buildings here and clusters of tall buildings there. But where the Schist is lower, there's not as many skyscrapers. In other words, the above ground city is really just a mirror of what is under the surface. You can't build anything for sure that is structurally sound in Manhattan unless you're on the Manhattan Schist, a rock solid foundation. The subterranean topography is the key to what happens above the surface of the ground, and I think that is true for our lives even more than it is true for physical buildings. I saw some pretty cheap real estate the other day in a very affluent community, and I asked, out of curiosity, I asked the person who was with, why is this plot of land so inexpensive in such an expensive area? And the person who knew the area well, guess what she said? She said, it's because it's a swamp. You can't build anything on it. It will sink. So the question for us is, what is the bedrock for us as Christians? What is under the surface for us on which we are building our lives? What sustains us? Where do we find strength and meaning and purpose? What is our rock? What are we built on? Now, we have a statement of core beliefs in ECO, essential tenets, and your elders and deacons just affirmed those beliefs this morning as we installed and ordained them. And when we went to the national gathering, there was a lot of discussion about our confessions and which ones were the most important. We wanted to be sure in making the confessions a little more lean and understandable that we didn't lose the bedrock of our theological heritage. But if you go way back to the beginning, the early church's bedrock was a creed that was so simple. It was just three words, and those three words were, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And that was it, and that was the bedrock for how Christianity got started, how the church began. Romans 10, 9 to 10 fleshes it out a little more and says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, that was their creed, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So the entire Christian movement began with the simple bedrock, Jesus is Lord. It was their rock. And it stood the test of time as countless churches and nonprofits and seminaries and schools and missions and human lives have been built on that simple truth. And it's held up for centuries. And that's why we're all here. Jesus is Lord. That is the bedrock. Now let's move from New York across to California, where I will never be disguised as a native. We build things out here that are earthquake safe, and it doesn't mean that the building is not going to shake a little in an earthquake, but it's not going to collapse. We have confidence in that. So sometimes we go through earthquakes in our own lives where things get shaken up a little bit. And even though we are in an earthquake safe place in terms of our faith not collapsing, we need a little encouragement. So I have some promises I go to when things are a little shaky in my life to remind me of the bedrock on which my faith is built. Promises like, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And sometimes when I feel a little lost, I just need to remind myself that God is ordering my footsteps. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That verse reminds me that, again, of that bedrock, that even though things might not be going the way I want them to go, that rock solid presence of Christ is the one on whom I built my life, and I can rest assured that he's not going to let me down, that my life isn't going to collapse. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That there's a plan, there's a purpose to our lives. And then this wonderful scripture that's sometimes used as a benediction, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Isn't that a wonderful promise to remind us that through life, God can do so much more than anything we can ask or imagine? You know, sometimes I think, oh, I'm asking too much. No, God can do more than anything we can think of to ask. God can do more than anything we can think to imagine. That's how big God is. That's how wonderful he is. Good promises to remind us of the bedrock, the solid rock on which we are built. So what are your bedrock promises? Maybe you have some. Maybe you have certain promises that encourage you. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, though, know that is where it all starts. Praying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's where we begin. That's where we start to build our lives on that solid rock. That's where the spiritual journey begins. That's how you build your life on the rock. The Message paraphrases this parable in verse 24, the house on the rock, in this way. Jesus says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. It comes right before the parable of the man building his house on a rock. This is foundational. You need me. You need me to build your life on. This is not ancillary. Verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is right before he goes into the parable, and Janet emphasized this point when she read it before, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And puts them into practice. In other words, don't show me your transcript. I don't want to know what you know. Show me your resume. What have you done with what you know about God? Don't be hearers of the word only, but doers of it. My greatest fear as a pastor is that people just listen to a sermon and go out and say, well, that was a dumb message, or that was a great message, and leave it there and not do anything with it. My favorite Kierkegaard parable. Kierkegaard was a great Danish theologian, and I've shared this with you, but I'm going to repeat it because I just love this so much. It's a parable about a duck pastor. Anybody remember the parable I've told about a duck pastor? Oh, good. Nobody remembers, so that's great. So I can go ahead. So this is about a duck pastor who had a small duck church in a small duck village. And every Sunday, the ducks would waddle to church. They were so excited to get to church. They waddled to church. And the duck pastor would preach in duck. And one day the duck pastor got up and said, I have made an amazing discovery. We have wings. We can fly. Isn't that great? And after the sermon was over, the ducks came out one by one and said, great message, Pastor. We love it. And they all waddled home. They all waddled home. They could have flown. Jesus is not going to say to us, well listened, good and faithful servant. Right? No, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's why I appreciate those who step forward this morning to say yes when nominating asked if they would serve as deacon or elder. And that's why I'm so happy for the team going to Santa Marta. We have 23 right now signed up. It's in the doing that we actualize our faith, not in the listening, not in the hearing. The listening and hearing here is important because it reminds us of what we're meant to do. But what we hear is meant to be acted upon, right? As a colleague of mine often says, love needs to look like something. We can talk about love all day. We can talk about the fact that God is love. We can talk about the fact that we need to be loved. But unless it looks like something, what good is it? It's just pious thinking, right? It needs to be put into action. So if we think back again to the Manhattan Schist, when geographers found out about it, amazingly strong rock formation that came together because of certain pressure way back when, very strong. So this architect, the geographers were really excited about it, and they told the architects. And what did the architects do? They didn't just say, oh, yeah, you know, that's nice to know. Rather, they said, really? That's there? Think of all the great things we can build on that rock. And they dreamt big dreams and built the most elaborate and beautiful city because they knew that rock, the Manhattan Schist, would hold up the biggest buildings they could imagine. They had no doubt. So now for us, if Jesus Christ is our foundation, friends, we can do anything. The sky is the limit. We have a solid rock. We have a secure base so that when we go out and do the gospel, when we go out and risk for the Lord, when we go out in faith, we can have confidence that the rock, who is Jesus Christ himself, will hold us up and keep us secure. You're supposed to say amen to that. Amen. Okay, good, because the church I grew up in would have said amen right there, so thank you. And Thomas Shepard actually helped to found Harvard College in 1636, and he had a little catchphrase, which was, make a new prayer experiment. So this is just a challenge for you to start trusting in that rock a little bit more, start building a little bit more on that faith that's there. He said this, he said, why do people experiment in the sciences, but they don't experiment with doing the gospel? So my challenge to you today is make an experiment of doing the gospel. Try a little bit more to increase your confidence in Christ being your solid rock. So maybe you take one of the parables, perhaps, that we've been going through, and you put it into practice. You do a mustard seed experiment, let's say, for example. Do something small for someone else, and then watch and see if it grows. Watch and see if it grows. You do a forgiveness experiment, like with the prodigal son parable that we did last Sunday, and practice forgiveness for a week and see how you feel after that. Maybe you do a tithing experiment for a few months. Give 10% of your money to God, and then notice if God blesses you or not. Just check it out. Experiment. Or maybe try praying for those who persecute you. We say that, oh, yeah, that's a really good thing to do, but we don't do it, right? Because we don't like them. But try praying for those who persecute you, people you don't like, for a month and see what happens. With Jesus Christ as your firm foundation, You can't lose. He will hold you up. He is always faithful. We have so much. We have so much to build upon. We have so much to build the kingdom on. Let's say these words together. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that you give us a firm foundation, a solid rock on which we can build. Lord, thank you that you are utterly and completely faithful. May we answer your call. May we not just listen, but may we do. May we allow love to look like something, because we are so confident that you are the rock of our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and may you go out and build your house upon the rock, who is Christ himself. Amen.